from the edit, it's Future Alvin.
Yeah, so it's Cameron here.
Hi guys, Justin here.
Hey, it's your girl T here on After Sundown Podcast.
And you're locked in with the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Welcome to the After Sundown Podcast.
Sit back and enjoy.
Enjoy.
It's about being masculine still. Alright, cool. So, what are we saying today? So,
it's a new season.
Oh, okay, yeah.
This will be the first episode.
Is this the official?
let's go again.
Okay. Alright, cool. Go on.
So, hey guys. Obviously, you've had a couple of episodes where, you know, we're just getting familiar with you guys again. But it's officially... Chinwag?
Chinwag, yeah.
Chinwag. But we've got it's officially our new season, 13 Reasons Why. And we're basically going to go through the classic questions that people ask in their Christian journey, essentially. We'll be interacting with you guys as well. So keep a lookout for that on our Instagram if we haven't already. This is the first one. And we're basically looking at where do we come from? Essentially,
I love that. So it's all the W's. We've called it 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
But it's like what, where, what.
What, where, when, how, why.
Yeah.
How, why.
There's also like, obviously, like when you're doing like critical thinking as well, there's also like what if. So like that's a question that like doesn't get asked. And there's like a Marvel series as well called What If as well.
Oh, is there?
And it explores like what, like, you know, like the classic stories that like you see in Marvel, like it explores like what if something different happened.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stories are quite sad to be fair, but it's
life and stream.
Yeah, but like, yeah, some critical questions as well, they ask like what if, how kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll be exploring those type of questions as well. But for today, we're gonna be looking at where do we come from. Not just like us as people, because I feel like we explored that in the previous episode of, you know, our kind of identity as like
black people,
and we're just kind of exploring that. So I feel like that kind of like spins, there's a thread in it, even where we didn't intend for it to be. So, when you think of that question, where do you come from? Where does your mind automatically go to?
I definitely think of like parents and stuff. I would never say, oh, where do you come from? God. I would never say that. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Where do you come from? South Africa. So,
do you know what I mean? I'd say location. Mm-hmm. Even if someone said, I don't know, like,
do you feel like it's like almost like there are layers of that question?
So yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. You'd have to keep prompting me. If you wanted me to answer it in a particular way, like if you wanted to say, for example, go back to the beginning of the, like where you think the world began, then you'd have to keep prompting me because I wouldn't get it.
So someone's like, okay.
Where do we come from?
Yeah.
Like some people might automatically say apes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's true story.
Like
yeah.
They might not say their location, they'll say apes. I'd look at you silly, but they'll say apes. Couple like that's not what I meant.
So there's the where do you come from as a person, like your own family, your own a place of some sort. Then there's like the existential question: where do we come from? Where do I come from as a kid?
And I think we're looking to kind of do the second part of that, like the
existential
whole,
question.
Not the airy. When you say existential, I think airy fairy.
Existential.
Okay. Cool. Okay.
Like where? So like some people would say, where do we come from? Some people believe that we continue in cycles.
Oh yeah.
That we
we
exist and we're reborn and we're reborn. Some people believe that we have come about by some means of, I don't know, evolution, the sort of neo-Darwinian perspective where we're a long line of ancestors from common ancestors with apes and from common ancestors with mammals and from common ancestors with animals with backbones and from and so on and so on and so forth and from whatever the first form of life is, where that came from, nobody knows. Mm. How all of this happens, nobody knows. And I say that tongue in cheek, in that, like, yes, people say, oh, selection of the fittest or and so forth, but that's no explanation at all, really, is it? Mm-hmm. At least not to me. But that I guess that sort of said where I stand. It hasn't said where I stand, but it says where I don't stand, maybe. I happen to have the view that I'm an ancestor of someone who's created by God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I think, yeah.
For full disclosure.
No. I think the same. But I think, where do you come from? Because, like, I was literally just searching it, like, throughout the week and stuff. And I think the reason why the question is so important is because where you come from tells you kind of, like, your purpose and where you might be going.
Definitely.
So, in a sense, why, like, this question is so important, whether you believe in the apes or whether you believe in, like, God, it tells you where you could potentially be going. Some people believe we're going nowhere, and it's just, well, I don't even know what people that believe in reincarnate, what's the goal?
Reincarnation.
What's does anyone know the goal? The goal is
enlightenment, really.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, is it enlightenment? I was thinking that. But that's like, am I confusing two religions?
Enlightenment,
because
and
you have reincarnation in Hinduism, and you have reincarnation, I think, in Buddhism as well.
Well, Buddhism comes slightly out of Hinduism.
I know, but I think the goal is slightly different. Because with Buddhism, it's definitely enlightenment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think in Hinduism, I can't, from my knowledge in Ari, in GCC, I feel like it was more, no matter what role you get in life, so whether it's, you know, a bug, a human being, an animal, whatever, you do your best in whatever. Because I don't know, in reincarnation, with Hinduism, if you get better each round, or if it is random.
I think it's supposed to. I think by virtue of the life that you lived, thing, your life's supposed to get better in the next thing.
I feel like that sounds familiar.
You come out as like a better stage. So, like, for example, if you was like a bug, then the next stage of that would be animal, maybe. I don't know. Someone educate us as well. Like, if.
So.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to know, innit, if you're Buddhist or Hindu or whatever, let us know, send us a message on it about...
Essentially, the goal of Hinduism, from what I have quickly, very briefly read, seems to be the ultimate aim is moksha. Moksha is the ultimate aim of life for Hindus. And that is basically the breaking out of the cycle of samsara, which is the cycles of reincarnation.
That makes sense, actually.
I have a memory somewhere distant in my mind.
So is the purpose to not reincarnate anymore?
Brahman as well.
You're meant to get to a certain point so you don't have to reincarnate anymore. So it's almost like, it sounds like a process of perfection, really.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Until you get to that point where you are perfect, and then you're free from
gaining good karma.
Yeah, yeah.
So that by doing good deeds that outweigh your bad deeds, so that you
progress. Makes sense.
Out of that cycle of, is it samsara?
Yeah, that actually makes sense.
So we talked about that, like, briefly, but have you ever questioned, like, the whole, if we actually did come from God or not?
Have I questioned
that? Yeah, have either of you?
Probably when I was younger, definitely, because I was just questioning everything. Like, I just, like, why do we have two eyes? Do you know what I mean? Why didn't we have two eyes?
The more the better.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, this is the norm because this looks normal to us. However, if we all had three eyes, then that would also be
the normal.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I definitely went through a phase where I was just like, why do things exist the way that they do exist? And who thought that was the best thing to do? Basically.
Do you know what I did think? I thought that God didn't actually make the world in seven, like, literal days.
Yeah.
I struggled with that for a while. Like, stuff. Even now, sometimes I think, but nothing, like how? But then, obviously, I'm listening to this book at the moment, Jackie Hill Perry book, and that in that book, she just kind of explaining, like, and in the other books as well that I've read, like, the kind of God that we serve, like,
yeah,
is like, there's no limit, yeah, to, if we could put him in a box and he wouldn't be God, essentially. So that type of power is, yeah, is just uncomprehendable. Mm. He definitely made the world in 7 days.
He could have made it in one if he really wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah. One of the things I think is, like,
he didn't have to rest, you know what I'm saying? Like, these things are just
Have I ever questioned? I think I have. But it wasn't to prove or disprove. I was like, well, this is what I believe. Why do I believe it? And then I was like, okay, let me check. Where does this break down? So I ended up on this sort of massive search. Like, there's a time when I watched a series called What's Your Name? I watched a series which explores the question. I think it's Life. What's the name of the guy who does it? He's a medical doctor, and he does this. He talks through his journey of exploring, of coming to the God of the Bible, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks of his journey through exploring, well, does God even exist at all? And so once it comes to my mind, I'll say what that series is called, and it's one of the most amazing things that you could ever watch. He took me into philosophy, and he dragged me into philosophies.
Correct.
Because you don't who
dragged you.
Who runs into philosophy?
I didn't voluntarily go on this trip. I was dragged.
I like it now. I like philosophy now. Generally, I wasn't like interested in philosophy. I had no interest in Immanuel Kant. I had no interest in reading any of these guys. But I was like, oh, I want to see what you guys think. So anyway, he goes through essentially his life journey. And I was like, and I had all these questions of my own. Because at the time I was doing biology and I was doing physics. And I spotted a difference between my physics teachers and my biology teachers. So my physics teachers were, although they were more agnostic than they were, atheist, or they weren't, obviously, some of them, most of them weren't Christian, but they were more agnostic. For them, it was a possibility. It wasn't, like, for them, their science doesn't comment on God, and it certainly massively leaves the possibility of, like, when you study physics and you see all of the
design
constants that are there and so particular.
Solar system and everything. So
yeah.
Yeah,
you see, like, the weak force, the strong force.
I know, it's,
how
there's a lot
precise they are, a lot of, and how shifting them, giving them this much more working range or less working range.
How can shift everything off?
Everything off. It's crazy. You think, how many of those events or how many of those numbers have to be like this for this to happen?
Yeah.
Why, like, or. And then I'd spot the difference in my biology teachers, who were more dogmatic, almost like they were like, so.
There's evidence for this. The archaeology. There's a lot more tangible. Biology compared to physics. Yeah. I'm sorry. Look how we've just got into space.
I know. In the sense of like, but they don't have the questioning mind physicists have.
Okay.
I was thinking to myself, well, I had this question and I asked it in class and it never got answered. And it was battered away. It wasn't, there was no attempt. I remember the question. The question was, if our observation, I had two questions, but they were the same question, almost phrased differently. If our observation is that there is extinction going on throughout time, how did the proliferation occur?
Okay, yeah.
And where was it? Also, If the theory is a selective theory that whittles things down, so that is to say, like, you have a theory of natural selection, where you have things that adapt, the best ones survive, and the rest get eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
So you start with, I don't know, 10 creatures. The environment has this selective pressure, and so these ones don't survive because...
Yeah.
And so you have... To me, anyway, it seems like it whittles down.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept trying to get my head around, well, yes, okay, we're saying that, okay, mutations are what cause the new creatures to arise. But then when mutations occur that are great enough or of a great enough magnitude to cause such a great change in a creature, it's often catastrophic. Like, such mutations mean that the creature doesn't survive. It dies, or it's never even born alive. Or it's so, what's the word? So, it's so disabled that it can't survive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, we're saying that mutations are bad on one hand. We're saying that mutations in humans, for example, cause cancers, blah, blah, blah. We're saying that mutations are a bad thing. And then on the other hand, we're saying that this thing that is a bad thing caused... So there are all these questions that I had that never got answered.
Mm.
But anyway,
I'm not even a professor.
Nah, it's like...
I'd have been scared if I had been a professor. As a student, bro.
I'm not on a PhD yet.
No. I just think it was like...
No, I hear what you say. It's just having a curious mind.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, but why?
Yeah, but
like,
why?
Isn't it?
But why?
Yeah. But I do think, like, I do think there's definitely, well, in my own personal belief, I do think there's elements of, obviously, I don't know if I'm using the definitions as they would use it, as scientists may use it.
Okay.
So I do think, you know, evolving
occurs. I agree.
And, you know, but survival of the fittest does occur. I do have the personal opinion that science and God coexist. I'm not one of those people who
I agree
think that
it's the thing it's that he made.
But it's not science and God coexist. God made, he made science.
Yeah, yeah, but it's in terms of someone else's.
Yeah. I get you.
Because that's one of the classic questions that people ask. If you're a Christian, are you like a scientific Christian or are you a
fun science Christian?
But I think, literally.
The way how Christianity has dealt with science when it first came, like, not when it, like,
now
wasn't,
it, yeah.
wasn't the best.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because because Christianity and science kind of always, you saw like them butt heads.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's Christian, like, well, I think that there's an element to which Christianity has dealt with it badly, but also I think it's both.
Yeah.
That's how I see it.
Because there's so many Christians who believe that God created the world, but they also believe that God, like, they believe that God created the world through the Big Bang. Or they believe evolution. That, yeah, God created the world through evolution. Like, they're not removing God from it, they're just saying that God was the reason that this scientific explanation happened.
Mm.
But then there are also people who, in my opinion, would limit God and say that God didn't create the world in 6 days because
he can't.
It couldn't have.
It can never have happened.
It's just like, why would he limit my God?
I'd also have like other questions, like even on the, but I don't want to go through all of that, but like maybe, who knows, I might record it as a little side thing. But like, excuse me. But like, I would ask myself, me being just a human being,
mm-hmm.
with the limited, certainly at that, well, limited now, way more limited when I was like 16, 17, 18. Like, so it was like, this was during college predominantly, but I'd start having questions about stuff. So like, I think, look at all the stuff that we have, like all the tech that we use and every single thing that we have that is useful, was not accidental.
Mm.
And that would always jar with me. And I was thinking, am I stupid for thinking that something things as complex as this would occur, as us, as human beings and animals and multiples of these things would occur? Am I stupid for thinking that that would have to have been created when something that is less complex than that definitely was? And I see no examples of a complex system.
There's that whole like chance argument in terms of like, and I think it's a very good argument in terms of to get the level of personhood that we are, in terms of like our brain. Just the way how we think, like that higher function of brain, even us standing the way how we stand,
still,
like
just standing still, like, not even moving.
Yeah, standing upright as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, like, obviously when like we was doing like where do you come from and that, obviously like I read like Genesis, I think it's it must be like towards the end of the first chapter in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
obviously God's making God gets to make him man, and it talks about image and likeness. Obviously, we don't look like God, but it very explicitly says that we're like him. And as I don't know, I wanted to see what you man thought about that.
Maybe like, we do look like, we don't know. We
don't know.
I think it's more characteristics personally than physical.
Yeah, I agree. But then there's a way in which we actually do look like we look like Christ, or certainly Christ looks like us. For he's taken up our form
God form have a physical being?
Christ certainly does.
I know that's Christ. I'm talking about God and the he's Father. God the Father. Sorry, let me be specific. We know that the Holy Spirit isn't a physical being.
He is.
Not a physical, like, sorry, what do you mean? Physical.
Okay, he's a like personal
he's not
being.
He's not got he's a personal being. Does he have a circulatory system?
Oh, okay, I couldn't answer that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean, like, I don't, when I say...
I see what you mean now.
Like, when I mean physical, I mean, like...
Ten toes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's like that.
I have no idea. I couldn't possibly
that's,
say.
But because I think...
Because we know that there's a point when he takes the form of a dove.
Exactly. So therefore, I personally don't... That's.
I think God can do what he likes, you know?
No, of course. Of course he... But I don't think that's his...
That's his form.
His default.
What is it? We can... there's some questions
He used to say what his default is, even.
Of course, but I just don't think... Nah. Like, don't get me wrong, God, you created us fantastically, but I just feel like God is better than what we are. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore, that's why in my head, it isn't like,
So here's an interesting one. Genesis 1 verse 1 starts by saying, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What's interesting about that statement is pre the discovery of like background radiation, a lot of scientists believed, and because it philosophically worked with their believed that the universe was eternal in the sense of there was no origin point.
Oh yeah, there was no beginning and end. Yeah.
Yeah. So they believed that there was no origin point, to the point where, so when the background radiation gets discovered, then they come to the conclusion that, oh my gosh, there was a beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, Genesis, which to them for a long time seemed like, what do you mean beginning? The universe has always existed, has been eternal, which is a sort of a thinking of one of the Greek philosophers or some of the Greek philosophers. From that point, now you get to this point where the Bible is, all of this time has been saying there's a beginning, beginning, and then there it is. There's a beginning now. In fact, it's interesting reading what was happening in science around that time. In the 19... I can't remember which decade. Could it be 60s? 20s or 60s? Between... I want to say maybe 60s.
Salvation!
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I was talking about... about my questions of... to the evolutionary view. That I still think about them today. I still, because I haven't had answers. And then they get bigger. My questions only get bigger. Because I discover, like, having... So anyone who's done biology or anyone who's studied the human body, you realise how much it can go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like... And it surprises me that, like, well, how do you get to a point where... How do you get to a point that a creature can reproduce? How do you get to that point? What are the evolutionary steps that it takes to get from something that can't reproduce to something that can? What are the pressures that pressure something to reproduce as opposed to exist forever?
Cheeks.
It's a part that is innate. It's part of your wiring.
How do you get from a creature that's a creature that's just this creature? I don't know, whatever. Or a sow. Why does that sow, instead of deciding to persist forever, why does it instead decide what I'm going to do is divide and reproduce and split?
That's what the cell's been told to do.
Yeah, but from the evolutionary point of view, how does that happen?
We don't know, Alvin. That's why we're here having this conversation. Well, we're not here to find the answer. We're here to discuss it. So, Actually, you know what? You know what?
I don't want. I didn't want.
I actually wanted to get you both of you put in terms of, because you men work in healthcare and that, you men see so much bodies and red tear tear.
Yeah.
Like,
not dead bodies,
like, okay, just humans, like, and like, especially like, especially to like your,
it's sad, isn't it?
It's horrible.
Like your understanding of like medicine and stuff like that. Like, how does that inform your view of God, or does it? Like,
it most definitely, I don't know.
There you go. Okay. I think it just makes me just constantly just be in awe, essentially. Like, I always say, like, the classic one that I see every day with like friends and stuff around me is like pregnancy. And I think when I learned about all the things that could go wrong in pregnancy, it made me just think, wow, like every child that's born, even it doesn't matter how, how the born is, in like whether they've got disabilities or if things didn't go right, any child that is born is genuinely a miracle. Like, genuinely a miracle, because it's like at every stage, every day, every hour, like, some, it's just crazy, like when you learn about,
yeah,
even just how someone goes from a fertilized egg to a full grown
human.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just mad. I remember learning, it's a lot of processes, I ain't gonna lie.
And the change to the female body as all of that's happening is crazy.
Like, it's fascinating. So I think science has made me appreciate God more, because it's like, wow. Like, every time I'd have my lecture, I'd be like, wow. Even the stuff that I didn't even get, I'd still be like, wow.
Yeah,
because
it's
like, okay, I may not... It may not agree with me, as in like my understanding, I'm not necessarily getting it, because there's some processes that just go beyond my head.
Mm.
But then it's just like, yeah, even the brain. It's just crazy. It's like, how is a memory stored? I remember that was like at uni. That was definitely one of those but why questions.
Yeah.
It's like, huh?
What is consciousness?
Like, how like, it's crazy. Like, how is a memory stored?
Yeah,
it's not like, you know, you use a magnifying glass and when a person died you can see the memory. No, it's stored in like data or whatever. It's just like, it's mad, because who thought I'd need that? I do need that. I need memory.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just everything is just so thought out
and reflected in the stuff that you make as well, because this has exactly memory. This has a brain, technically.
But it's like, but
you learn so much about God through its memory.
Is about us. Like, it has, it doesn't need, this thing is not self, it's not con.
They're talking about the phone, by the way.
Consciousness. Oh yeah, we're looking at phones, holding phones in hands. Consciousness is a question that baffles me. Like, you go to sleep.
I know.
There's
even
a period
that,
where there's this,
everything's going on around you that you don't know.
State.
Mm.
Of you're not there, or your conscious self at least is not, you're not conscious, you're not aware, and then you wake up, and the waking up is a continuation, it's this memory, and it's like all tied, and there seems to be the sense of continuity. What is that?
I think, you know, rest,
like 10 hours has passed or whatever.
Yeah, I think rest as well, because it's almost like, where did you get the extra power to get back up from? Obviously, like, when you look at it like food or whatever, but you're essentially recharging, but there's no charging point. You're just doing it by yourself, and you wake up feeling like, DNA, I can tackle the day. I can tackle the day. So I think with all of this memory, the brain,
yeah,
where does this say, what does this say about us then? What does, like, we're looking at where we come from, but I kind of want to look at, what does it say about us then?
As humans?
Yeah, like,
I could never write a paper and submit it to a journal saying God exists and proving in a way that, I don't know, in a way that the journal Nature would accept that God exists. I can make maybe what, I don't know, an inference to the blessed explanation, or an inference to, I don't know.
It's like your experience, isn't it? Because I think I'm going to naturally look at, like, when I learn about, you know, how a fetus develops, I'm naturally, because I believe in God, I'm going to just associate it with how great God is and how meticulous he is and stuff. Yeah.
Do you, like, why do you believe in God? Do you believe in God because of this? Or do you...
I think I believe in God first. Do you think the way
you think because you believe in God?
I think it's a bit of both. I think it's like, it's a constant, like, kind of like yo-yo. Yeah, yeah, basically. Whereas I believe in God, and then those things or the life experiences feeds back into why I believe in God. But then also those experiences inform me that God exists.
Okay.
So it's actually...
Okay.
I don't know what type of word. Something relationship. It's,
symbiotic, maybe.
Yeah.
Tangible.
It's tangible, but I mean, like, it's sharing it.
Oh, beneficial relationship.
Kind of.
It's something.
There's a word.
Mutual relationship.
I can't think of it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say parasitic.
What do I think?
Symbiotic, I think, is the word.
Yeah. It's like they feed off each other.
Yeah. Or they benefit each other.
And benefit each other. Yeah. Everything's just, yeah, grand.
Nah, I think my kind of thing with this whole, like, where did you come from? I think when I was looking back at, like, you know, like the Big Bang and then, like, the extinction event as well, I think I look at that and I think, I look at the Bible and it says the flood. And then I look at science and it says...
There was also an extinction event. It says there was an extinction event, but it was caused by
this. And then, so yeah. I think for me that kind of
meteorite,
that gives the Bible more credence, because
it said
why would it even say that happened? Like, what? Like, just because God was, all right, cool, we know the story and whatever, and why that did happen, but the fact that it did happen and it was recorded, I think a lot of people don't see the Bible as like a history book. Like, it's not just a history book, it's a lot more, but especially the beginning parts, it's history, and it's like the history of where animals came from, the history of where the universe came from, the history of where we came from, women, how women were made, all of this stuff, and then we're given instructions, like, it's all of this, but I think those, like, events give the Bible more credence to me, because it's like, why would that makes so much more sense than the meteorite explanation. That one, because to me, an explosion, like, what they describe there is more or less, I don't think anything could genuinely survive in that. That doesn't make sense to me. I don't know why. It just doesn't make sense.
I think it's also like, I was reading a devotional just to, like, prepare for this episode, and I think it's, we don't always recognize that Genesis is history. Like, it's not just a chapter in, do you know what I mean? It is history, and it's like, I don't know who the person who wrote this devotional is. Can't remember the name, but they said, so we need to, so they were talking about the whole emphasis on history and the fact that the Bible informs us not only about who God is, but also informs us of our choices today. So he says, so they just say, we just need to remember history, whether it's Noah, Abraham, or ourselves. He's interacting with us in real ways that we can see, know, and trust. Faith isn't a leap in the dark, it's assurance and trust based on real actions by a powerful God that happen. Huh? By a powerful God. The grammar here is terrible. By a powerful God that happened in actual history. Your history is my history. So it's a case of, yes, you know, God created the world the way that he did. And it's, you know, written in Genesis. But don't just take, I think sometimes we can just take it as a story sometimes and not actually deep what's going on. Like, they had at Ladywood Church, they had a recent children's campaign, and it was good to, like, they basically went through creation and other things, and it's just like, you know, we actually break down what God did and the order, it just makes a lot of sense. Like, it just makes a lot of sense. And it's like, this is not just a children's story. This is actually how life came about.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, let's actually take it with some, like, with some seriousness. It's not just, you know, a comfort story.
I think a lot of Christians, I think, you know what it is? It's hard to actually accept that this happened because we don't see stuff in it. But I don't think we need to see it. People need to start being a bit more brave in terms of, like, believing it. But it takes a while, innit? Like, even me, I do battle with, like, did it really, like, 7 days? Like,
but why is that so incomprehensible?
Because I've just never seen, bro. That's something out of, like, Marvel or something, bro. But, like,
here's why I asked that question. I'll say why. Because, like, have you ever watched a car be put together?
Well, what I'm actually, let me not say.
But it's not a
car. I know. But, like, think of I've seen a car put together.
Like, so yeah, I was at JLR.
Yeah.
And obviously you watch like the lines and stuff like that. It's mad, so much components, rotate.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say to you is you can't use that example because I get why people struggle with
question.
That because you're literally seeing like that's equivalent of me seeing like in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, bro. Like boom, boom. You get me? I just imagine stuff like floating around, like, you know, them dramatic things, bro.
I believe that was the music that was being played at the time.
Good choice of music.
and then obviously,
yeah,
that day ends. Yeah. So it's just doom. Mm-hmm. And then dun, dun, dun. Like the next day, yeah, it's some next hands riveting,
yeah,
and God's making this.
My question is, like, is that harder for God to do?
No, it's not hard.
Or what's easier? Is it like, or forget what's easier or harder? Like, to me, if I think, well, if I'm of this limited power that I can, I don't know, carve a model of us or whatever, or
bake a cake
or put, like, some guy is, there's some guy or clever like enough or a group of guys them. Clever enough to create this Lenovo or to create this audio interface. There are people who've come up with this,
but we take this for granted.
But what I'm saying is
we get quite complacent, don't we?
Like, what I'm saying is, like, and then you have this being whose intelligence is described as being as I tell the end from the beginning kind of intelligence.
Mm.
Mm.
Whose intelligence is, whose power is, I spoke and it stood fast. That kind of power.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, this is what we're capable of.
We've got nothing to... We've got nothing.
Let's
on
just
earth
admit,
that's like
we've
it,
got
other
nothing.
Than our experience with God. But that's why experience with God is important.
What I'm saying is, I think we have something to relate it to.
No,
but wait. Hear me out. Right,
go on.
So what I'm saying is, like, we can relate it to, we create things that are complex.
Mm. We create. Other, go on.
Or put together.
Yeah, like intricate.
Whatever, yeah.
And our intelligence is finite, and for a short and limited time, we're only on this earth for what? One individual's on this earth for 80 years, 100 years at
if
most.
You're lucky.
But but they're only effective to be able to do stuff like this for, let's say, 50.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because they have their childhood period, then they have their decline.
Say retirement, but okay.
don't call it a decline, bro.
Childhood and then retirement.
Retirement.
So you're only on this earth for this amount of time, but you can come up with a theory that explains something really well. You can invent something spontaneously in just a moment. An idea just hits you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can create this. What then of a God who's existed forever?
Mm-hmm.
And a concept we can't even understand.
Understand, yeah.
I don't know. I remember my university experience. Like, one of the things I realized when I was at university was that. So, I found that I had read a lot of what my university friends had
would read, and like I'd read maybe even think more than they had read, maybe aside like Enlightenment philosophers and so on and so forth.
Mm.
But then they hadn't read, and they would see that as the only thing that makes the West what it is now.
Mm.
But they had not, they had no, or they had little knowledge or little little.
Go on, you have it.
Yeah, it's nearly there.
Go on.
It's not complex, but little. They had no more than the surface level of an understanding of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them had never read it or read any like summary of it, or like everything that they knew of it was from its own critics.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and which is an interesting way to learn. Like, why learn from the critic? Like, why not go to an original source?
The source,
like,
for me, yeah.
I wouldn't go to an enemy of Kant to understand what Kant was saying. I would go to Kant.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know how his name should be said to sound proper.
I think it's Kant. When I learned about him at uni, they said Kant. They don't say Kant.
It's not the other one.
It sounds like you're saying Kant.
Yeah. I'm just trying to make sure. So, like, I don't know. Like, it's why. One of the reasons I think, as a society, we're in the place that we're in. Because we've gone away from... Like, we don't understand the value of what we're...
missing.
Everyday Christian values that people grew up with in the background, even if Christ had largely come out of the culture, or Christianity had largely come out of the culture, but the echoes of it were there. So for example, lack of forgiveness is cancel culture. All it is lack of forgiveness. It doesn't need a term. It's being unforgiving. It's digging up. It's going back to someone's 10-year-old tweet, digging up a 10-year-old tweet and going, oh, you can't you haven't changed for that, or you can't have, your mind can't have possibly moved on.
Yeah.
That's who you were then. That's who you are now.
But do you know why, like?
Then it's touted as accountability.
Yeah.
Is it though?
Sometimes, well, that's a different conversation. Okay. But I just think sometimes it is. But to go back to the original thing, I think, what the Bible is as well to a lot of people is or how some people could view it is a fiction and a non-fiction book at the same time. So like, it's so unrealistic what is happening in that's what it appears to be. It's almost like that is a Marvel movie in the first part. Because there's so much, I don't want to call it magic because it's not that, but it's so much like superhuman stuff that is happening within days, within 6 days. Everything we know, the bricks that make the house, everything that like is there. Even humans, we were made in a day, and but for people, it's like, for people looking at how can a whole adult human be made in a day? But a baby takes 9 months.
Because a human did that.
I hear what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying.
I get your point. I can't.
So from.
Especially because it's like a grown.
It's a grown human.
It's not like it's. Adam was a baby. Going through life.
Okay. Maybe I'm weird in that. Like, so for example, one of the things I think about is like, okay, so you have. Think of a catastrophic or large event. Think of it like a destructive event.
You're saying how quickly things can change, essentially.
Yeah, like, No. I was going to go more to the point of, like, how do humans comprehend things they have no experience of?
Mm.
What do we perceive a thing to be? And are there any analogues that we can attach to such things? So, for example, I've experienced an earthquake, but in half sleep, where my brother told me that we were in an earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was just like, I have a, in my mind, it was a dream where
wasn't I was by a train. Wasn't that
earthquake in the UK? Yeah.
And I swear, I experienced track. That. Yeah, I experienced it, but
I was half asleep. My brother was fully awake. He went, no, there's an earthquake.
The earth was shaking, bro.
What is that? Like, can you imagine? Like, what does it mean for the earth to shake?
Mm.
This thing that every single day is... We say, like, when, like, one of the things we say as a saying to
to be secure is, we talk about terra firma. Like, oh, it's nice to be back on terra firma. Someone lands on a plane, it's like, oh, mm-hmm. nice to be back on terra firma. Oh, it's nice to be back on solid foundations. Mm-hmm. And then the solid foundation that's called the earth shakes.
Mm.
Like, that was mild. And my experience of that is, I don't even count it as an experience of having been in an earthquake. Haley, on the other hand, a friend of ours, I think some of you will know, happened to be in Japan when there was the earthquake.
Oh, I swear.
And when there was the tsunami. She was in Japan for that.
Swear?
Yeah.
That's mad, that is.
Uh-huh. Haley might have to come on the TV and explain that on the store.
You know what? I'm going to interview her.
Yeah, she might have to come on and explain that.
Mate, I remember when she was talking about it, she was like, the room started shaking. She said, I grabbed my passport, I grabbed this.
Passport for what? She thought she was going to fly out then, you know?
It's like bits of the story that I remember her telling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, she talked about how, like, people automatically, like, I think went under tables and stuff, and she went under, she hid under whatever she hid under, and the place is shaking, but it's not shaking like, it's not like, it's like being on a ship, is how I imagine it, from when I see it. Have you ever watched videos of earthquakes? And I watched one where there's someone who's filming a YouTube video, and then all of a sudden, everything is moving, everything is just swaying, things are falling, and you're like, what is that? How do you even comprehend being in that? Yeah. And that happens very locally in somewhere, just somewhere, and it happens more in certain places than others, like on fault lines and so forth. Anyway, it happens in some places. Those people know what that is like. How do I comprehend that? Like, I can only imagine it. If someone were to tell me, if all of this technology that we have to say, to communicate with each other, if someone were to travel from somewhere and to say, the earth shook, and you've never experienced the earth shaking, what would you say to that? You'd be like, mad. You're talking out of, you're talking hot gas. Is what
I love you, now.
So, what, like, there is, there's, like, to me, there's, when it says, God said, let there be light, there's no light before, and there was light. I'm like, I can believe that. Easily I can, like, what's to say, why shouldn't I believe that? Why shouldn't I believe that God went, let there be light, and there was light? Why shouldn't, what is stopping me from believing that God said, that God parted the, you see, that's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is, the reason I believe it's impossible to detach the creative power of God in Genesis from being as it says it is because Jesus refers to those same events in those same time periods. But also, it means that I can't believe anything that Jesus did. I can't believe any of it.
Oh, if you don't believe...
If I don't believe that God created in 7 days, why should I believe that God raised a man from death?
Okay.
I've never seen anyone raised from death.
Yeah.
Certainly not someone who's been dead for 4 days. Like, I've never seen anyone raised from death. Why should I believe that someone, why should I believe that Peter did it? If God can't create this world in 7 days, why on earth should I believe that Peter, that, why should I believe that a guy fell out of a window, boom, he's dead. And then Paul, is it Paul who's preaching? I think it's Paul. And then Paul raises him from the dead. Why on earth should I believe that? Why should I believe that Christ is going to return in glory from the sky, descending with a cloud of angels? Why should I believe that?
I see why people think that would be ridiculous. I hear it.
Why should I believe that we will ascend wingless?
It's because I feel like that's part of our handicap as humans. Like, we try and attribute everything to what we're experiencing right now. But we need to realize that not everything is in terms, even like when we think about 100 years ago, like Remembrance Day and like what was happening back then. What is then is not now. It's nothing even remotely like it. There's no bombings or anything like that. There's probably a few bombs that are still dotted around or whatever, but the world is completely different.
It's a different world. Different
like, kids world. Now have no experience of what war is like or...
I feel like even, like, people... I think of all, like, the 90-year-olds or 100-year-old patients that I see, and, like, some of them, like, you can see they're just fascinated with the mobile phone. Because they were sending letters. Like, they never thought that they could feel so close to someone that was so distant away, because that is actually far away because of technology. Like, you can see it baffles them. It's about that, wow, I can see, especially during COVID times, I can see my loved one. Mm-hmm. If, like, this had have been a different time, like, I'd have to send a letter, hopefully wait for, do you know what I mean? Like,
a best
by the time telegram. They replied, probably be discharged or, mm-hmm. or yeah, dead. Yeah, or yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. it's like, they're, you can see they're just like, wow, I can still feel connected. Like, people who have lived through a lot of things, like, even they are, like, mind blown at how advanced society has become. So I get why it can be difficult for us to almost, like, simplify our minds to attributing it to one thing. Like, I get it. Like, I do get it.
Well, either way, we do. We
attribute,
we attribute it to the power of whatever that is, to the power of evolution. Sorry, I say power, that's wrong. To the process of evolution. Well, what does that mean? And me being me, I've dived into, like, I remember watching a chemist. So this, an organic chemist. His name is James. James Torr. And I remember him talking about several things. One of the things he talks about is, he talks about so for example, in humans, amino acids can be left in anything. Amino acids, you have mirrors of amino acids, which, meaning that they can either be left-handed or they can be right-handed. So, like, a left hand is like this, it has this shape. A right hand is the mirror of this shape. I can't do anything to make, like,
the same.
To make these two
the same. Yeah.
Inverting it like this pushes my palm up, and rather than down.
They don't match. Yeah.
Right. So they are. But then you have this. What is it called? Monocot. Like, and I think the same. Is it the same thing with certain carbohydrates? But anyway, with amino acids, humans only, the only amino acids that we use, or the I believe it's the only, is the left-handed amino acids. And yet, like, I don't know, he talks about the Miliuri experiment and how all it could do is produce two, and in equal, in like 50-50 proportionality. Then you're like, well, where does the selection of just one amino acid come from? How does that occur? He then talks about what it takes to build, for example, nanocar, because his lab builds things from scratch. Mm. And he talks about, well, from a lab perspective, you must heat this up to this exact temperature for this precise time, let it cool to this, blah, blah, blah. You start with this amount of concentration of starting materials, and you must whittle it down. You must have enough starting materials so that by the time you get here, you're going to have whatever you need. But if you don't have enough, you have to start again. You don't even have, like, how does evolution do that? What is the lab environment of the planet where all of a sudden this, whatever it is, comes out of a hot environment, straight away goes into a cool environment? Is it like, is there a volcano next to the sea? How does it know, oh, I've gone wrong here, I need to do this again? So essentially describing the, I would go beyond saying improbability, but the impossibility of, and then all of this has to happen gazillions
of times,
and then you go to the bigger picture of evolution. Well, you have to have stable environments for things to, and slowly changing environments, because if an environment changes too quickly, then there's no time for adaptation to, there's no time for mutation and adaptation basically to the environment to occur for a creature to survive. Were these were the is that what's occurred? Mm. Where there are these slow changes over ages of time. How did, my question of how did the proliferation occur? But then there are all of these questions.
So what, okay. And
I find that so hard to, like, mm. I find it incredibly hard to believe, because it just, like, it doesn't stand up to any scrutiny for me.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't have evidence. I never saw God create. In fact, Adam and Eve never saw God create.
Yeah.
They came to this environment and this being says, that must be so I mad. Made this.
That must have been so mad for them.
Yeah.
Like
I'm just, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because at least us as humans, we can see where we come from, as in, I came from my parents. My parents came from someone else's parents.
And we can watch the process of coming.
Literally.
I don't think we do. The fact that they didn't have parents.
Mm.
Like how we have parents.
Mm. So they wouldn't have known.
God just says.
Other than looking at each other and knowing there's two of us.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing to show, like, who was before us, or did we... Are we the first?
Adam doesn't get to witness God create. He's put to sleep. Eve is taken from him. When he's woken up, there's Eve.
Eve.
That must have been not a nightmare, but
that's been amazing.
You know the ones you've gone to see at you, and then aesthetic. And now there's someone else that looks like you, but it kind of looks like you. I haven't got the same parts, but it's like you weren't there when I went to sleep.
I'd probably run.
It's crazy.
I know Adam said, "Oh, what a beautiful sight." If it was me, I'd be running, because that's very scary.
Like,
because it's like so. So there's one of you tomorrow when I wake up, there could be 10.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because it's like,
wait. Constantly being put to sleep and that. These times I'm missing the
probably,
roof.
I think actually when he went to sleep, like at night time, whatever, I feel like he might have been scared. I think that's where the term on to sleep with your one eye open actually came from.
Oh my gosh, show my days.
No, I actually believe it. You're telling me you wouldn't be shocked to go back to sleep?
No, I would still.
I imagine it happened on the first day, on the same
that's
day.
That's why you only managed to get to go to sleep.
I mean, the next day, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
and then,
every time
but then luckily God told him to rest. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I would have been scared.
I want to know what you think about this. How did you come to, like, how do you come to where you are now? Because you might not think the way how we think. So, I don't know, we want to see what you think as well. Mm-hmm. I think, again, as I said before, the topic of where you come from, it goes straight to, well, for us anyway, it goes straight to Genesis, and then from there it's kind of like, do you believe it or do you not? And then there's that in between of, you know, you believe that this came about through evolution and all this other stuff. But I agree with you, Alvin, in terms of like, if you don't actually believe in that, I think it can say stuff about the rest of your faith, like in what God can do in your life. Because then you try and like rationalize, and you have to explain how everything is done.
I'm very, very hungry.
There's no,
that's nature calling.
I don't think there's nothing wrong with asking the questions at all. I think they should, like, if they're questions to be asked, ask like how did you do it, God?
Mine's gone now.
Or even like trying to think, like, there's nothing wrong with being rational, I don't think, but we should be rational all the way. Like, we should be rational and think, well, is what, like, is evolution rational? We've been told it is. I was told it is at school, but every time I would think about it and examine it in my own mind, I would find it to be irrational. I'll be like, well, these things are incongruent. They don't sit. Sorry.
It's okay. I know what incongruent means.
I know. It's just, I'm remembering another conversation.
Oh.
Nothing to it. Like, incongruent. It's a word that I hadn't used. I've never used that word until this person used it. That's someone used it who I was talking. And I just find it funny that I was using their word. It feels like someone else's word. It doesn't feel like a word that I would typically use, if that makes sense. But yeah, that's an interesting one. You said something about it tells you where you're going. at the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think I kind of want to end off on that. Mm-hmm. Like, so we've kind of discussed like the whole Genesis stuff. So what does that tell us about where we're going? Like, if we're made by, if you're made by a God,
mm-hmm.
what does that tell you about your purpose? What does that say about you?
God informs my destiny because he informs. Oh gosh, the belly's really just going.
Yeah, it's mad.
Hush. I'm so hungry. Oh, if you want to sponsor us some snacks for the episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
let us know how you want to get involved.
Send it straight to my account, to be honest.
But yeah, it informs like my destiny, essentially, because it's like if God has a purpose and order to everything, so therefore my existence for however long it ought to be should be one that's, of course, honouring him, but that is informed by him. That's what I would say.
I think in terms of, I think God tells the beginning and he tells the end as well. So if he's telling us, this is how I made you, this is what I made you for, you wasn't supposed to die, you're supposed to live forever. Because I was just reading that, well, Adam and the first humans, they lived for a lot longer than we did. They, even after the fall, they lived for about 800 years on average.
So I can't even imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing with my time?
That's mad.
And it's like,
we're here it's so short. I don't think we realise how short we're here for.
It's like a blink. It is a blink. Because like, I always think as well, like, so them times, you live into 800 and something. So am I still old? Like, am I still old as we see old?
Yeah.
So obviously, when I always think of the story with what's her name, Sarah, how did she have, was it 99?
99, yeah. It was 90 something. It was definitely 90 something.
Thinking Bob was 90. Was coming. It was 99, I think.
Oh, Abraham
was 99. I think.
But she was still old.
To 100. She was like 90, I want to say.
Yeah, so she was old. So the Bible says that that's old.
Yeah.
So even though they're still living to a long period of time, 90 was still.
Her womb was described as being, was it barren?
Barren.
Yeah, barren. Finished.
That's like
post-menopause.
Yeah, yeah.
Literally, do you know what I mean? So then, if 90's still old, and you're still living to 800, then were they just old? Just
he lived to like, what did he live to? 165, I want to say.
Okay, so it wasn't as the forefathers. But yeah, my point is, it's like I still find that mind-blowing because it's just like, what am I like? Genuinely, what am I doing with my time? Obviously, getting to know God more and more.
Amen, in Jesus' name.
But it's just even I find that mind blowing.
Correction.
I find that mind blowing.
Like, but even that, even that, I think, then it says, okay, where did we come from? Now, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, cool. We've come from these beings that were meant to live forever, sinned. Basically felt like separated themselves from this eternal being that made them in the first place. Then they are now having to sacrifice, turn the soil. What does that tell us about where we're going? Like the Bible explicitly like describes that. It talks about there'll be, well, Jesus came for the first time, not to obviously like liberate people like they wanted to be, but like, He came as a living sacrifice
to liberate from sin,
yeah.
As opposed to liberate from a tyrannical.
Where so now in 2021, how does that inform my life? I think it informs my life in terms of I know that God wants me to live forever. I know that God wants the best for me. Yeah, I think God wants me to be with him as Adam was with him, again, and Eve was with him as well. And he just wants me to have a good old time, to be fair. He just wants to reconnect. Because again, when I was saying in terms of the whole likeness and image, like, I'm assuming, well, I don't know, everyone wants kids in it, in the air, innit? I know me and Alvin had some discussions about whether we want kids or not. I haven't. Alvin has.
You don't want a child, Alvin?
Did you say that? No. Did you say that? You said marriage or something like that. You didn't know if he wants to get married.
Nah, I said.
You definitely had them conversations.
So, you know, I've had those. Certainly had those thoughts. I've had those conversations. My thing is like, I think my conclusion was. Well, my conclusion now is, and I think
you told me at the same time.
If I didn't have children, I wouldn't be. At that point and at this point, it's not like a, oh my gosh, I want a child.
I want to swing.
I'm not broody. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I think my point is with like children and that, like when you have children, not hopefully, but more time children look like you in it. Like, or they look like a resemblance of someone that you may even be related to. And I think in the same way that God created us, he created us in his image and likeness. So that's two things. So he definitely like values us. I think that's the reason why we're so valued by God, because he doesn't like the angels. I don't think the angels were made in his likeness and image like we were. We don't have the history of other places and where we just have our history. So as far as we know, we're the only beings that are made in his likeness and his image.
In his image, they have his character, but maybe they don't have, like, so for example, we can reproduce in a way to teach us some of what it is like not to be God in that sense, but like it gives us an idea of why God says what he says. It's the reason why. When you have a child, you realize why God says what he says and does what he does. Why God says you can't have this. Because when you have a child, you learn to say, no, you can't have this. At least if you're a good parent, you should know. You should learn to say, you should learn to realize.
Boundaries.
You never always say yes as a parent. And not arbitrarily, because they're practical.
On a side note, there's a parenting style called free range parenting. So essentially you just let your child do whatever. And
why would you want
to
do that?
Because like send your child to the shop at like 4 years old. I know that's like more common in like other countries as well, like kids grow up very quickly, but that's not because of bad parenting, that's because of other stuff. But yeah, I would never do that. Don't say you like, yeah,
eat what you. I watched the documentary of like where this found like the kids do what they want, and I was like, wow. Okay. See how that works out.
Yeah, we'll see.
See how that works out.
We'll see. Yeah.
I was going to bounce off what you said, like Psalm 139 verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Like, there's something about knowing God created you. Now, is God a crutch? Is a question that I asked earlier. Well, in a way, like, God wants us to lean on him. So in a way, yes. In another way, we know that we will be judged by him. So how much of a crutch is it to a lot of people want to avoid judgment of God? Christians go, well, I'm going to be judged by God and face up to that. So which is the crutch? Is that a crutch? Mm. Where is the crutch? Like, I am going to be judged by God. I am being judged by God. Anyway, I know that I am fearfully and wonderfully made by God. I know that he knows the hairs on my head are numbered. I know that he knew me whilst I was yet in my mother's womb. From then, he has plans for me to prosper me. And what is it?
I have give me hope and an expected
end. Powerful. That's man. What to me, knowing that God made me, does for me. It also says, if I'm a prince, how must I behave like a prince? What does that mean? If I'm a queen, or if I'm a princess,
no, how must you're I behave? Right,
if
I'm a queen.
How must I behave?
Give some respect to females.
No, I said prince, princess. Yeah,
that's
like if no, I'm a we're child. Not let me if I'm a queen. Child.
Is that a hint of misogyny?
That's a hint of what's the opposite of misogyny? Misandry. Is it misandry? Yeah.
No, I don't know.
If I'm a child of the king, How must I behave? What must I do? What must I not do?
Yeah.
That's what it... What is my value as the child of a king?
Sorry?
What is my value as a child of the king?
Yeah, it's high as storm. Yeah.
But that's what... That's what it means for me anyway.
I feel like we can end it there, you know.
Amen.
I'm hungry.
I am too.
I'm so hungry.
I'll make you some food, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got to ring Adrian.
Your brother.
Your brother. Quick.
Yeah. I was going to say AD, then I was going to say Adrian. And I was like...
Go ahead. AD. Yeah, it's it.
Guys, have a good week. God bless you. Have a happy Sabbath. Have a lovely day. Whenever you listen to this, have a good day when you listen to this. Share it. That's way too close. Say something.
Like, comment, share, subscribe.
All of that. And if you don't, you're a waste, man. So.